You are tuned in to the What's Happening Salem podcast, presented by Advantage Heating and Electrical, changing the contracting world with love, empathy, and kindness, and a lot of hard work. We appreciate you being here, Salem. What's happening, Salem? We are back, darn it. The What's Happening Salem podcast. We out here. Good friend Brandon, of course, but also we have Haley and Cheyenne from Punks with a Purpose. Appreciate you both being here. And before we get in, if you're out there listening, you're getting value, sharing this with a friend, leaving us a 5-star review on the podcast platform of choice is a big deal. And Haley, I'm sorry I started this podcast by interrupting you, like right off the bat. I apologize for that.
I was just saying thank you for having us here.
You two are doing important work. I had a chance to explore the space a little bit last week. It was just awesome hearing about what you're working on. You just won an award last weekend, right? For the iLead Summit?
Mm-hmm, we did. We got the Impact Award.
What is the Impact Award at iLead? What even is that?
So iLead is a youth-based like workshop. They are teaching youth how to basically be leaders. And so what they do is that they came together, the youth and the board nominated us. And so the youth really got to dive in to be able to see what we're doing. And they gave us an award because of the things that we're doing and how we're impacting youth.
That's a big deal. That is a big deal. Brandon, it's like your team wins a lot of awards also at Advantage Heating. We got a bunch of award winners on the show today. This is awesome.
Yeah, no, we do. I actually just found out yesterday. I don't actually know that this is public knowledge, but I cannot imagine anyone who's working for Daikin or Thermal is tuning into the podcast regularly. So I'm sure it doesn't matter too much. But for all of so Daikin's the largest global manufacturer for heating and air conditioning equipment. They're number two in the U.S., but just down by 1% or 2%. They'll most likely take number one in the U.S. this year. And right now, we're ranked number 16 for all contractors in North America that install Daikin equipment. So I was pretty stoked to find that out. We've been in the top five before. We actually won number one in 2021. We got the award in 2022, but it was for 2021's work. So pretty cool. Like that's a lot of contractors. They sell a lot of equipment, and just in Texas alone, there's several hundred contractors. So to be number 16 all of North America is a pretty big win.
Incredible. And right here in Salem, I love seeing that type of success happen, and your team is grinding.
Yeah,
trying to get that total market domination happening in the entire industry. So I love to see the success come from that. Something else you two have in common is Salem Community Connectors, where Brandon, your team jumped on as a title sponsor. Super grateful for that. And then Haley is as a participant, but also will be speaking at one of our sessions as well. Really, the focus behind this is we want people to have a behind-the-scenes look at how the city works. We want to provide a chance for connection for people who are interested in building community and bringing people together and help them do it more effectively. So first, maybe we'll start with Brandon, like jumping on as the title sponsor, which again, I'm just super appreciative of. What were some of the things about this program that got you excited about it?
Well, I mean, for one thing, man, the events that you put together, the networking events, the parties, ceremonies, things like that. I mean, they've always been a good time. They've always provided value. I've always ended up meeting and networking with people that either they're doing interesting things in the community or they're interesting thought leaders or, you know, they're doing something cool in whatever space they're in. And so I really like getting a chance to network with people, meet people that I probably wouldn't have ordinarily just bumped into. So props to you and everything you're doing to bring people together. That's been a big one. And then plus, I mean, a big part of like, so I mentioned the Daikin Award. One of the things they take into account, so it's volume, growth, high energy efficient equipment, and then usually company culture or community involvement is something that also is in the ranking for that. And that's something, one of the reasons why we end up ranking so high, because there's much bigger companies and much bigger markets, right? But the things that we do in the community and our community involvement is something that Daikin really appreciates too. And so it's just right up our alley. And it'll be interesting for myself and a couple of our other team members to just get a chance to hear a little bit more about what's actually going on in Salem. We've talked to a lot of decision makers on this podcast, and I've always learned a lot about how things are actually working, how things are handled, how the planning works, the decision-making works within the city. I'm just excited to learn a little bit more about that and for them to do the same and connect with some pretty cool people.
But man, and then Haley, I appreciate you being one of the participants, but also signing up for a session to talk about Punks with a Purpose and the work you're doing to help those in Salem who are under the age of 18 and unhoused. What were some of the things you saw in this program that inspired you to want to get involved?
I just really love everything that you're doing. You just have blown up so much. And so I relate so much to that with Punks with Purpose. Just like really bringing awareness to, we're like a little baby program, but we're moving so fast and just doing a huge impact and just really bringing awareness with a new perspective of what our youth are engaging in and what they're needing. A whole bunch of youth things are popping up, which is amazing. And really putting out there that it's time to collaborate and not time to compete. Like, leave it for the grants to compete, but it's the time to really just work together and just getting to know my community more, especially on the business side. I'm in the nonprofit world. And so really getting to know our amazing leaders that we do have here in the community.
I love it and appreciate you being part of it. But yeah, Punks with a Purpose. This is just such a cool program. And I feel like something you do well is you just make it accessible for people where they have a space they can come. They're not feeling like they're judged. They're not feeling like they're being overlooked, but they're really being seen for who they are and what their needs are. And you two and just your entire team do a good job of being creative. And how do we provide resources to people where they're at or where we're creating events that they want to be at? Because I feel like a lot of times people have great intentions with providing resources, but then actually getting people to those resources, they don't have as much success. So kudos to you. And just for those who are unaware of what Punks with a Purpose is, what can you just give us kind of like the high level summary of what you do?
Oh my gosh, can we even do it in a summary? I don't know. We have so many different programs. So we started almost 4 years ago now with Punks in the Park. And we did it in 5 weeks. We had some amazing leaders just really have a heart for youth. And that is our annual event that we have, that we disguised a youth resource event as a punk show. If you don't serve youth, you cannot be at our event as a resource table. But Punks with Purpose just is a wraparound service, meeting youth where they're at, wherever they're at, in any walk of life that they're at, with no judgment, just compassion. But we're also helping youth, holding them accountable too, of taking back their power in life. Everybody here has lived experience. We all look different, but we're all relatable. But we have different programs. You want to talk about some of the programs?
Yeah. And so really just from Punks in the Park, we decided, Punks with Purpose, year round, because youth wanted us to have an event more than once a year. We're absolutely not. That's crazy. So we decided to just make it wraparound services year round. So that's how we opened Stormy's Place, our community center for youth to come in, hang out, be themselves, but also get their basic needs met. Mm-hmm. We have our EMOS team that stands for Epic Mobile Outreach Services. So we have a group of people that put backpacks on their backs, and we have hygiene bags and snack bags that we provide for them just on the streets. We go around throughout the community, wherever kids are hanging out, we feel like they might need support. And then we also have our totes program. We provide services and hygiene needs, snacks, whatever youth need in schools, we provide for the resource workers to support their students so that students can thrive in school.
And it's super, super low barrier. And TOTE stands for Tools Offered to Every Student. And so youth are just able to access everything that we do is super low barrier. We don't ask youth to do intakes until they're ready. We still collect the data, of course, but making sure that the youth, when you do an intake, there's a lot of sensitive questions that you normally just wouldn't be open about. And we want the youth to be able to talk to us about things. That way we can provide the right services for them.
What is the reality of unhoused youth in Salem?
It's hard because youth are so overlooked. A lot of our youth are couch surfing. And so they don't really talk about much about couch surfing. They don't consider it a form of homelessness. The numbers are very not accurate, I feel like.
So when you say they, who's the they that we're referring to?
Just HUD, and they don't consider when we do the pit count. This year actually was the first year during the pit count that they actually recorded people that were couch surfing to really show hey, this is a real thing. And so the just the different programs that, you know, housing needs to be looked differently. It's not just in a tent. It's not just outside. There's so many different forms of houselessness. And so just in Salem-Keizer School District is almost, with the McKinney-Bento program, is almost 2,000 youth from kindergarten all the way up to high school. And so there's 8 of those workers in our schools, and I cannot even imagine only having 8 with that many kids, those youth and those families. Some are doubling up, some are couch surfing, some are in shelters. It all looks so different. And we really need to change our perspective of what classifies as a form of homelessness. It's unstable housing. And that can, I mean, the pandemic showed that we're all one paycheck away. We're all one pandemic away from experiencing unstable housing or just unstableness in general.
When you think of a podcast in Salem, I love that we have a company with such an incredible legacy joining as our premier sponsor. Advantage Heating and Electrical has proudly been providing safety, comfort, and peace of mind to the greater Salem area for over 30 years. Through residential and commercial heating, air conditioning, and electrical service, they're just a call or text away. Reach out to them at 503-393-5315. One more time, that is 503-393-5315.
Every 3 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. At Casa Marin County, we believe every foster child deserves a safe and happy home. Your gift can make a life-changing difference for a child in foster care. Visit CasaMarianOR.org to donate today. That's CasaMarianOR.org.
Something that I actually think about a lot is, at different stages of my life too, it's just, I could have been one decision away or one event away from being in that exact same position myself. And I've been lightly in some of those positions when I was younger. And so the reality is very much there for me too. It's like, man, I could have made one different decision and have ended up being right there.
And just Punks with Purpose, we just look at the well-being of all of the youth, knowing that they might be experiencing these kinds of instabilities and it's not necessarily their fault. And so we don't make them think that it is. So just showing up where they need us, whether we think they need something or not, that's not the point. It's just showing up for them how they need us to show up for them.
Yeah, because I was experiencing a type of homelessness. I was couch surfing throughout my youth aid like era, I guess. I had a home that I could go to, but it wasn't safe all the time. And so youth, like, sometimes they make a decision that, like, I would rather sleep outside or go somewhere else instead of, like, being at home because it's just not safe if that's physically, mentally. These youth are very, like, in tuned with themselves and what they need. And so definitely, like, those can be also things that people don't understand that they're like, well, they can go home. And it's like, but can they?
What are some of the impacts that you see with youth that don't have that stability at home, don't have a safe place to go? How does that impact their ability to just grow and develop?
I mean, it comes with like trauma and it comes with like not being able to focus at school. I know with me when school wasn't a place of education. It was a place of rest. I learned very quickly to not get attached and not unpack. And so youth aren't going to school. They're not like if they are, say, let's couch surfing. They feel obligated to do things like babysit or clean the house or whatever that may look like for them. And so they're not getting the education. And so that just spirals within itself, right? Or they're working too hard and like they don't ever get to like advance, right? And so there's a huge impact. They like learning not to have boundaries. I mean, it can just really unfold into anything. It can also lead to substance use is a big one. It can lead to sex trafficking. So just having like a stable situation, can really change a lot. Or even having like a stable adult. I've had youth, like we are one of the first adults in their life that they actually can relate to and that is stable. So it's a huge impact to be able to bring community, to these youth.
Like just having your organization there where they know like it's consistent, they can count on it, they know what to expect. it just has to help them in developing trust with people in general. I know we did a documentary on the unhoused crisis in Salem. And I remember one of the people we interviewed talked about how a lot of the people that have just been without a place to live for the majority of their life, like they just don't trust any sort of service or program because they've seen it all, they've heard it all. And it's like, I'm not going to believe anything you tell me because it's probably not true. And so just establishing this early where like, hey, there's this place you can come, you can feel safe, hopefully will help set them up for success, you know, later on in life. What are some of the goals like when you're working with a student that's coming to you and you're just getting to know them for the first time? What are the like objectives that you have for that person? Like, how do you define success?
So with our Impact Awards, a youth said that we meet the youth where they're at, not where we expect them to be at. And that was such a powerful statement for me because that really shows our testimony that we are youth driven. Youth come in here, we don't tell them, like, we'll do the basics, like, hey, do you have ID, do you have a birth certificate, do you have insurance, like those type of things. But they're the ones that set the goals. So if they want to learn how to ride a horse, hell yeah, let's go find a horse. Like, we're all about that support and like wanting to make sure that they're getting their needs met. And with comes giving them that power back, then they're learning boundaries, they're learning to say it with their whole chest. And they just tell us where they need to be. Do you want to add anything? Cheyenne's, we're like, she's a youth whisperer. Like,
I agree with that statement. That's my objective, is just to gain their trust, right? So that they feel comfortable enough to tell me exactly what it is they need, because they might need so many things, but they're not going to just tell me that. And I don't deserve that right off the bat just because I'm an adult and I think I know best. That's not where it's at for us over here. It's just me gaining their trust so that they feel comfortable enough to tell me what exactly their needs are. And then I'm here for it. And that's why we collaborate with our community so that we know when they do ask, we know exactly who to call and how to get it for them.
Yeah. And it's just so cool to see some of the youth that like their goal settings, like I want to open, like we have a youth that when I first met them, that they didn't really have like goals yet. And now they just opened Saxons with Purpose within South Salem High School that's bringing resources to the students. And now she wants to open her own nonprofit in order to help youth. And so like finding a purpose, like that's why it's Punks with Purpose. And we're getting youth from, shockingly, like somebody came here from Dallas in Independence and like rode the bus here.
They took the bus to come to our open hours just to come, I don't know, get protein shake.
Yeah, they got like a protein shake and like a snack and charged their phone. Yeah.
Incredible. And finding that purpose is so powerful. I had a thought, Brandon, go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, it sounds like it's like this is something that's kind of evolved for you over time. But was there like a singular or pivotal moment where you just knew like this is something that we're going to go for?
We've done this pretty backwards, I feel like. So it really just started, like I've always known that I wanted to work with youth since I was a teenager. Like I was that kid that like was so like, I shouldn't be where I'm at, honestly, like if we're looking at numbers and like my life. And so just having that, like, I wish I had somebody like me and like creating that, like, what does that look like? And just like, you know, I started from the bottom, like I was like a caregiver and then I moved up and up and up and now this is what it is. And just like being in the nonprofit world and like what you said, Jacob, like, oh, I've heard it all, or I think, I don't remember, sorry, I've heard it all, like, I don't trust this, I don't want to do this, like, all those things, and, like, I've experienced that, right? I've had adults in my life that are like, I'm gonna take care of you, and I'm like, okay, and so there's so many barriers, and those are written in policies and procedures, and it's like, we don't want to do that, and so becoming low barrier, like, that's the, like, front, like, the bread and butter is, like, we just needed to make a change. And that's when we just did it. Someone literally told us that there's two types of people, the ones that like plan and plan and plan and plan and plan. And like, okay, we're going to kind of do it. And then plan, 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 talk, talk, talk. And we are like, plan, do, like kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which are my kind of people for sure. Because it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to have this like perfect plan that's just going to work great. You're going to figure it out as you go and you do iterations, but you have to get started to have that experience. And hopefully, you know, the kids that you're working with kind of see that in your organization. Like, they just built this. they just made this happen. Like nobody, like they didn't wait for permission. They didn't like, you know, nobody told them to do it. They didn't have a boss telling them to do this. They just saw a need. They made it happen and people can now benefit from it. And that's what we need in Salem. We need people that are doing this sort of thing. People feel welcome. When I think of community connectors, like that's exactly what it is. Like finding a group of people that don't have what they need and like just create the thing for them. Like just keep it simple. Punks at the Park has been kind of a cool like staple in Salem, which is not something that other cities have that I've seen at least, you know, the way that you're doing it, where it is a punk concert with like a resource booth essentially that kids want to go to. Because usually if you think of like a resource center, you have somebody who doesn't really understand youth culture and what they're looking for in an event or doesn't have a way to connect with them. You kind of crack the code on that. Like one, getting kids there where they're excited to be there. And then also providing the resources where there is this like ulterior helpful motive in what you're doing. Tell us about the evolution. Like where did it start? What's next?
Yeah, it actually started, like I've always wanted to do this. Like I remember posting it, like I really want to do this thing called Punks in the Park. And it wasn't supposed to be what it is. It was actually just supposed to like have people come together that like didn't allow the streets to take them, right? Like, hey man, I have been through it. I came out the other end. I'm successful, you know, and just bring resources and a boombox and my husband barbecuing. Like that's literally like what I thought it was going to be. And then it blew up into this amazing creature.
Was that because people saw it and were like, I want to be part of this. I want to help. Like, was there that sort of momentum?
First year, we had trouble. Like, first off, we did in 5 weeks, which was wild.
This is at a public park, right? So you had to get permits and everything. And like in 5 weeks, anybody that's tried to do something like that understands that's just not. Yeah,
it was. And the city was like with our connections, like because I was working at Home Youth Services. And so I had like, you know, going to community meetings and like talking and like building those. Like that's why community connection is so, so important, because like if you know somebody and you have passion behind it, they're willing to like relate to that. But the city was totally behind us. They're like, yeah, like this is it. Like, we had people sitting, in the lobbies waiting, like to talk to somebody about their permits. But yeah, the first year people were like, I don't know about that. Like we only had like 30 resource tables, cause they were like a punk show. Like we don't do that here. And I'm like, you don't do what here? You don't provide resources for youth? That's weird. But yeah, and then it was super successful and people were like, oh crap, like, and now we have a wait list for people. Last year we had like 60 resource tables. And what we do to engage the youth is that we give them an incentive, like, hey, you do this passport, go around, talk to the resources, get a stamp, come back and get a prize. And so last year we had, and youth are youth, right? And that's my favorite part is being able to see youth just be youth. And so we had this big duck pond that had, you know, numbers on it, how many like tables they went to, that's how many ducks they would have been able to pull. And they were stoked about it. They loved it.
That's, and like, so the ducks like, have like prizes when you turn it over, that kind of thing. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like we had like numbers, like, oh, like little like tier things. There was like Apple gift cards in there. There was, we had a Parker Golden Ticket, which is our mascot for Punks in the Park. And it was a $60 gift card for them to go shop at the merch booth and be able to pick out what they wanted. And so it was just really cool for them to engage and like they just loved it. All of our speakers at Punks in the Park are youth that are experiencing in real time what's going on. We have free haircuts. We have a clothing closet that's sponsored by Hot Topic. We have a Build-A-Punk where they can go get their hair done, like mohawks, whatever that looks like for them. And then we have a Build-A-Vest, which is a battle vest that they get to put patches on. We have people there that are like helping sew things on. And it's just like a really good time to get free food too, all the youth do. Last year, we served over 600 youth, which was amazing. And then we didn't even mention, we also do Punksmas and Punksgiving every year as well. And so last year between all of our programs, we served like 1500 youth. And so it's just getting bigger and bigger and like we're seeing new youth all the time. And our location is perfect because we're literally across the street from the transit center downtown.
The holiday times are just a wild time. I want to talk about the back-to-back Punksgiving and the Punksmas, because even if you have like four kids, like Thanksgiving and then you got to get ready for Christmas right after that is a lot. But like 600 kids, like that's a stressful time of year. You're not sleeping a lot during those months, I'm guessing.
No, between punks, like all of it, it's just...
I think I was, for the months of November and December, I was dreaming about my lists and shopping
oh, no.
for hundreds of...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think I even shopped for my own kids until like...
That's such efficient. That's such a... That's like a productivity hat. Like, do your planning and your dreams. That way you don't have to waste your waking hours planning. You've already done it.
We
got the list going.
We had over 200 youth sign up for Punkmas and Punksgiving this year.
And I just see our Punkmas is so close to my heart. And I think I take it so seriously why I'm thinking about it, because I don't want to mess it up for anybody because of the way that we view Christmas time and we here at the Punks, and knowing that our teenagers get forgotten during the holidays by many, all of our community. I don't know if they think, oh, they're a teenager, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it does. And this is why they feel like they need to grow up so much faster, because they get forgotten. And so that's a really close thing to us, is making sure that they feel seen. We don't just buy them whatever Christmas presents we just like buy in bulk. We specifically shop for each and every one of them.
For 200 kids.
It's really hard, but it's important that they feel that like sense of like, I was thought of when someone thought of me in that way, which was really amazing.
And we wrapped them.
We wrapped them.
Towards the end, I'm like, I'm buying.
How many people were wrapping these presents? Like, we need to get some support this year. Let me know when that's coming up. We're going to rally the troops. That's
wrapping.
A lot.
I hate wrapping. There's no way. I'm a bag person.
I wrapped them along with another really amazing volunteer. He was really dedicated to the mission as well in this project. So it was really just him and I doing a lot of physical shopping and wrapping by ourselves.
Who funded it? Did you guys have some sponsors step in, like do donations? Or you guys, what are they?
Yeah, how did that look? We partnered with Mid Willamette, and they were able to help with most of it. We collaborated with them. And then, unfortunately, for Christmas, our sponsor dropped for our whole event for Fall City. And this was like 2 weeks before the event.
That's tough.
And so we were like, holy crap. And so again, community connection, man, that's where it's at. And I just did a shout out, and within 24 hours, it was completely sponsored, like by our community. And like, I am consistently blown away by how our community shows up with just giving them a little bit of a piece of it and that passion. And like, when we say it with our whole chest and our heart and our souls, and just really showing up for them, is so cool. I just cannot. Every year, even with Punks in the Park, I'm like, nobody's going to show up. Nobody's going to show up. And people continuously show up all year round and wanting to help. And so it's just so important that we could like collaborate.
It just feels good when you find that need. Because as somebody who throws a lot of events, I'm the same way. I'm always like, even if you have purchased tickets or it's a free event, they've registered, it's always in the back of my head that like, nobody's going to be here. This is going to suck. Why am I wasting my time? But then when it goes well, it feels so good. You see people connecting, getting to know each other, enjoying the things that you help coordinate and organize. Really is a fulfilling experience. And, you know, I hope more people will learn from this, what they're hearing today, and start taking action on their own events and realizing it doesn't have to be a festival. Like, don't start there. Start with the room, put something in it for people to do, and invite people. Like, it's literally that simple to like put an event together and start creating community. What are some things you hear from kids who attend the events? They're getting gifts at, you know, Punksmas. They're eating foods at Punksgiving. They're eating food at Punksgiving. Like, what are some of the things that you're hearing from them?
I think like just seeing them like react to their gifts is like just enough. Like, especially snacks. Like, I remember last year, this youth, like, I'm pretty sure he almost tackled his parent, because the parent was like holding the gifts and all he could see was like Takis on top, and they're like, oh, Takis. And they just like started grabbing them. The youth, we don't really ask, I guess. I mean, sometimes like I'll be like kind of sneaky and I'm like, if you could tell the CEO something from this company, what would you say? And then they'll be like, I would just want them to know like this is baller and like we love it and like to keep doing it. And then I'm like, cool, I got it noted. And I'm like, I'm the CEO of it. And so just really asking them. And we just got a grant from Willamette Health Council to start a youth action board. And so these youth will be very specific on telling us how to run our program. So if that's like our courses that we have, Punks in the Park, and they will be getting paid $50 an hour for their experience. And so like if they have any barriers, like I can't pay my phone bill, done. We need a ride, done. And so just really partnering with like those bigger partners, like we partner with ODHS, like they've given us funding and so has Pacific Source and Willamette Health Council. And so just like those big like people that are like, yeah, this is a need and how do we support it?
Yeah, I think like in a lot of what you've said, like it does seem like, you know, I think oftentimes teenagers kind of feel unseen, you know, when you're around that age. I think there's a lot of them that feel that way. And I think one thing you're doing really well is making them feel seen and feel heard and supported, obviously supported. But I think really making them feel seen, even down to, right, like you can go get your mohawk done over there. You can go, right, and you're helping facilitate that kind of identity that they're creating that may not be appreciated elsewhere. I also think it's really cool and really interesting that you're bringing in youth to help guide the process. I know it's not quite the same, but one thing I think that we've done really well over the last couple years as a company is facilitating a lot of opportunities for employees to have a say and have a hand in how things are run. And I can tell you from that experience that some of our best ideas don't come from the management team. And being willing to hear them and then incorporate those ideas creates so much buy-in and so much camaraderie amongst the team. And it gives them a greater purpose than just coming to work. And I'd imagine you'll see a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, we invest in them, they'll invest in us. We've gotten like amazing donations, right? We've gotten like big money grants to help this. And I appreciate them so much. But my favorite donation was actually from a youth and they gave us $1. And that was so like, I'm getting like goosebumps right now just thinking about it because like they like, it may have been like just $1, but it was like the thought behind it. Like, I appreciate you so much that that's all I have. And like, it was such a cool thing to witness because it's like, okay, like you just invested $1 in Punks of Purpose and that's amazing. Like, I appreciate that. And so all of our employees too here, I'm very like, hey, what do you think? How does this look? Like, how do you feel about this? Because like we've worked in the nonprofit world and it's a very unappreciated like job that we don't just get it. We get a pizza party every once in a while, like kind of thing. When I first started as a youth experiencing homelessness case manager, I was making $16 an hour. And that's just not enough in general, right? Like to live on, but also like all the things that we take on. Like we are the mother to the motherless. We are the dads to the dadless. And like we have to step up. And that takes a lot. That takes a lot of toll on our mental health, on our physical health. Like, you know, have had youth that like have passed away and it's like it's so hard and so really taking care of the people that do this so we get good quality services is so important. Same with teachers, like the people that are actually doing it, like they deserve to be on a pedestal almost. I feel like it's so important, you know. Burnout is real.
It is very real, and especially like when your role is to take care of others and care about others, it's impossible, especially if you're invested, to not like feel the things that they're going through. It's really challenging and equally as hard to create that space to make time for yourself when you're so focused on serving others or this mission that you're so passionate about. A quote I love that a friend said to me, I heard once, I think it was on Twitter or something actually, but she said that like, taking a weekend off or taking a day off isn't going to ruin your business, but like burnout will. I think it's a lesson a lot of us learn the hard way when we're just constantly in go mode, is eventually you hit that wall where you just can't make any more decisions and you're just done. And like, that's the thing that's going to be most damaging to the mission. So learning to create space is so powerful. How are you doing it in that area?
I am just so thankful for my family and my friends that actually like show up for this. This is my passion. This is something that I love. Like, I try to take time for myself for sure. I definitely on the weekends, I've learned that I need to take me time. I'm not very social on the weekend because I'm very social all week. I'm thankful for my my kids, because they understand. They're very good about checking in. Like last night, I gave my son a really big hug, and he's like, "You okay? Do we need to watch trash TV?" I'm like, "Oh." But yeah, I think that just leaning on your people and just what you were saying, like, I used to work for companies that I was killing myself for, but they wouldn't even show up to my funeral, right? And so, like, really putting that in perspective of, like, I need to take care of me, because if something happened, it wouldn't be a raindrop in the ocean. It would be a whole tsunami. And what about you with your...
I have really learned a lot about myself. I've been in this field since about 2020 is when I started. Really, I started working with adults first, and then I really learned that I was all about prevention. So the youth world, I went. I really learned a lot about myself in those years since 2020. And so I've learned a lot about, like, how I need to have more boundaries. And I definitely know my boundaries now, and knowing that I do need to rest, and then I will not be able to end the suffering of all of the youth. So once I have put that into perspective, I was able to really, like, be my best self for my youth. So
yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
There's always more to do. There's always somebody else to help. Sometimes it's tough to just, like, all right, I'm going to shut it off for now. I'll get back to it tomorrow. But for now, I'm just going to shut it off.
Yeah.
It can be tough.
It is. Yeah. And it's so important, like, for businesses, nonprofits, that, like, you find people that breathe life into you. They're like light, like helping you light the candles to, like, guide it. What I've noticed is that when people find purpose, it brings power. And sometimes power isn't a very good thing. It just depends on how you handle it. But definitely, like, surround yourself that people that celebrate you, not tolerate you, is so, so important.
100%.
And maybe get a dog.
Get a dog.
Or a cat.
Or two dogs.
Cat.
That's hilarious. I think, I don't know, I'm like thinking about this for myself right now and what I can be doing to take better care of myself, because I've just been like in go mode these last like 4 or 5 months, because what's happening in Salem is just like taking off, and there's like ton of attention, and there's so many people I can help and work with, and opportunities are like in my DMs all the time now. So it's challenging sometimes to have that filter of, all right, what is the right time to stop? What's the right thing to say no to? But it's been a blessing. And I think you kind of learn as you go. But I appreciate you guys sharing what works for you as well, because I know I've been thinking a lot about that for myself.
Yeah, I have this like app. I think it's called Finch. And it's like this little penguin thing. And like I write my goals down in it, and it like reminds me. And it's like not goals like read 100 emails. It's like, did you brush your teeth today? Did you make your bed? Did you pull out meat for dinner tonight? Like those type of things. But then it like gives me like little rewards, like there's like little micro eggs you can hatch. And I know that's like funny and like, ugh, but I do it like now it's become a habit that like I'm like, oh, gosh, I need to like do it. And so like finding little things that give you that serotonin is like
gamifying your rest.
Yeah, gamifying the rest for sure. That's perfect. Even things like that, like, did I eat lunch today? Sometimes it's like I was just like moving and, oh, yeah, it's 6 o'clock now and I had like a protein shake this morning. And that's like what I've done so far. So it is kind of interesting for sure how that works. What's a myth about, oh, go for it.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I wanted to touch base back about prevention that Cheyenne said, and that how important youth are prevention for everything, right? Like if we catch it now and help them, then they'll be able to not turn into adults that are like really deep into it. So I just wanted to kind of mention that.
Yeah, I mean, it's more proactive than reactive, right? And I feel like that's one of the struggles with just government decision-making is there are so many fires to put out that the fires consume all of the resources and isn't as much thought around, okay, what would prevent these fires in the future? And sometimes it's a literal fire, but sometimes it's like the analogy of like bad things that are happening. But what's some of the data around youth and how that can have an impact on becoming different people as adults?
I just think like the support, I think that a lot of youth want a sense of belonging. I was an emo kid and like I was told all the time, like, it's just a phase. It's just a phase. And I'm like, it's not a phase. It was a passion. Like a lot of youth are like, oh, you're being dramatic. No, you're being traumatized. And there's like a huge difference. So just really like the like being supportive. And so back to like this person said something that like in order to solve the problem, you need the people that are closest to the problem and like being able to be like, this is what's happening. Because youth can literally smell, they're like, did you see that on a Netflix documentary? Like, did you read that in a book somewhere? And so having that lived experience is like a huge deal. And like how Brandon, you were saying like, oh, I kind of like dibble dabbled in like, you know, unstable housing. But like you, I don't know your story, but like we have a lot of people that I say that. And it's like people experience different things, right? Like when I stub my toe, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. But someone else could be like, didn't even feel it, right? And so like having that experience, like I know that we've always been told it's shameful. I am very proud of being able to have that experience and come out on the other end of it and show youth like, yeah, it sucked, but I embraced the suck and here we are.
Well, and when it's kind of part of your norm, it's really easy to downplay it too, right? Because you're like, oh, no, this is just kind of like day to day, or this happens every few months, or right? You just kind of, in a way, accept it, downplay it. Yeah, definitely very real there.
Me and Haley have done lots of different trainings and like education throughout the years of like of working in different organizations. And there is, have you guys ever heard of the ACE score? It's Adverse Childhood Experience Score. I think it was a study done in the 90s with, I think it's Kaiser Permanente. It's Adverse Childhood Experience, and it looks at three different categories in childhood. Abuse, neglect, and like household experience. So it's like physical abuse, emotional neglect, and also like incarceration of a parent, addiction in the household. And it really showed the statistics on if you have a high ACE score, that you're more likely to experience like these various different things. It went from like addiction to like early death, right? And like chronic health conditions based off of your experience. And then at the end of the study, it just said that how we can prevent high ACE scores is having safe places for youth to be in the community. That's school, that's childcare, that's, you know, what we do. A place outside of the household, because again, youth can't, they can't help what they're born into or where they live or where they're placed in life. But what we can do as a community is show up for them outside of that household. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, the statistics on that went from like in alcohol addiction, it went from 2.5% with an ACE score that was really low. And if you had four or more in your ACE score, it was like it went up to 11%, like a huge difference in just your experience as a child. And I think that shows with a lot of what's going on with our houseless population, with our adults. They probably all have super high ACE scores. They don't realize that that's something that they are experiencing. Trauma, we don't always realize that we have trauma. It's not always so obvious. And it's very like hidden and placed under the rug. Mm-hmm. And that's why I also think that it's important for like the community to know with Punks with Purpose is that because I hear a lot of people be like, oh, I think I know a youth that's qualified for your program. All of our youth are qualified for our program because there's the obvious problems and then there's the not so obvious problems, which I think that as a community, we really lose sight of. Mm-hmm. That it's like those not so obvious things that are going on. I know for me as a youth, I was I fell between the cracks. It was not obvious for me all the different things that I struggled with. And so I think it's important to remember that we're for all of the youth in that age range. And it's important to remember.
Yeah. And that's why we named our community center Stormy's Place. So Stormy is my sister. She's still alive. But we're like the complete opposites. And she in high school, like I said, I was an emo. So I had like the teardrops and I was just so like, don't even bother with me. You know, and you could look at me and be like, there's something wrong with that one. But my sister, blonde hair, like super preppy, straight A student, homecoming, the whole nine yards, right? But we were experiencing the same thing. So she was just happy go lucky. My sister is the type of person that would fall downstairs and being like, wow, I got down those really fast, like to this day. And so really like putting that out there because somebody told me they're like, oh, you help troubled youth. And I'm like, are you troubled? Like, what does that mean? What does that look like? You know? And just what she was saying, like she, you know, it turns into like wanting to do more, but also resentment. Like, my story was preventable. A lot of these stories are preventable in some aspect of, like, having a community. It starts in the high chair, right? Like, when I was in school, one of the teachers said, like, it starts in the high chair, not the electric chair. Like, that's where it begins. And so, I mean, I know that we don't have electric chairs anymore, but, you know.
I get it, the analogy. Yeah.
And so just serving all youth, and eventually they'll open up being like, yeah, I'm actually, like, living in a car right now. And, like, you wouldn't even know. And we don't provide a lot of things, like youth, like taking a shower. Like, there's not a lot of places for youth to go take a shower unless you have, like, some type of membership. There's just, like, they just don't know. They don't know they can go to the doctors. They don't know they can sign up for Oregon Health Plan. They don't know that they can sign up for food stamps. They don't know the advocates that are out there. And so, like, bringing them to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes just having the lived experience of growing up with people who are going through challenging times can help you not have that others factor where you, like, label kids as, like, troubled youth. Like, it's just, they're kids that are going through, like, pretty challenging things. I grew up, like, in the Scott School area, so North Salem, and there were a lot of kids that were going through challenging things, and we would grow up and then they would commit violent crimes and go to jail. And I remember talking to a group of people about a couple friends I had who had, like, served serious time, and, like, kind of reading the room, and I was like, you guys don't have any friends in jail? Like, no. I was like, oh, I think we just, like, kind of grew up in different situations a little bit. But I think going through that experience, I feel like it's easier for me to empathize with a lot of people that maybe some of my peers, not at this point in my life, just don't, because they don't have that same lived experience of growing up with kids that were struggling in different areas.
I think it, like, the number one predictor of where you'll quote unquote end up in life is your zip code.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Because it's who, what are you surrounded by? What are you exposed to? Who are you interacting with?
Yeah. Like West Salem, like, they don't get enough resources. Polk County, like, they don't, because they have, like, which is weird, like, West Salem, they don't even have a laundromat. I don't know if that's done on purpose. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it is, like, you hear about, like, oh, South Salem, snobby, like, oh, the bad kids, North, McKay, like, those type of things. But, like, what we need is that we need resources inside the schools, and, like, trying to get into the schools, like, we need to have a serious conversation about that. There's so many barriers, and it's just, like, why? Like, relieve the stress that you guys are experiencing and give it to us, because that's what we specialize in.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely.
We notice a lot when we're working with our youth, right? Because as adults, our kids should be in school, right? Prioritize, you know, school. But if we don't look at the overall picture of why youth aren't attending school, right? There are various different reasons. If you're experiencing homelessness, your main focus in life is not reading a book and being talked at by a teacher.
It's surviving.
Doesn't know what's going on in your life. You get yelled at for being tired and sleeping. Why am I tired? I did not sleep last night. I didn't sleep well. Being in school is really hard for some people. And then also the fact that, you know, some students don't learn like other students, and schools aren't always able to accommodate, which is understandable because schools they have so many students and they're understaffed and whatever the case may be. But I feel like the schools need to utilize their community outside of them a lot more. And then we would be able to see more success in, like, attendance rates and graduation rates and things like that, to just really look at the youth all around, not just what you're expecting of them in school. It's so important. And that's a big barrier that we see with a lot of our youth that we work with, is school and not liking or attending and getting in trouble all the time for things that are kind of out of their control.
And there's even, like, data on there that I used to work with Bridgeway. I was the adolescent substance abuse counselor that was in the schools. And one of my higher schools was South Salem High School. I had about, like, 75 kids on my caseload there. And youth were literally showing up because they knew I was going to be there. And so their attendance went up, and they even came to me. They're like, you know, like, 90% of your youth have not reoffended, right? Like, because they're going through this program. So right there shows that it's working, right? Like, youth are showing, like, I'd get there and they're like, blah, 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 just showed up there. Can't wait to talk to you. And I was like, they're like, they've been here every day. like, to see if you're here. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, so again, community connection.
What's a myth you feel there is around youth without stable homes that you feel is just completely untrue?
I think that is just like what housing looks like unstable housing. Like I said, I could go home when I was younger, like totally could have a house, but it was so, sometimes it was really unsafe. And so I think that a lot of the time youth are experiencing this, that's something that's completely out of their hands and out of their control. And so I think that's just a myth, is that anybody can go through this. It doesn't matter. Crap happens, and we just need to uplift them and definitely just make sure that they're good. And there's no bad kid out there. You don't wake up like a drug addict. You don't wake up an alcoholic. You don't wake up homeless. Sometimes you do, obviously, but you wake up traumatized, and that's what it is. The mental health part is so important. People don't just wake up and be like, I'm going to try heroin today. That sounds like a great goal, but it's like, no, I'm trying to numb something and there's no resources out there for me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big myth, is mental health does matter in all aspects of your life. I know that if I'm not good mentally, my household's not good. My job is being affected. And so when youth aren't getting that empathy and compassion, they're not going to want to show up. And so I know that I had two specific teachers at McNary, and I would fall asleep in their class. They didn't wake me up. They were angry. He literally just handed me my homework and he was like, have a good day. And that was so, they didn't know that I was experiencing homelessness. They didn't know any of those things. They just knew that I needed rest. And that's really important. I'm not saying let your students sleep, but ask them why they're sleeping. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
But I think also when those actions are, you can tell when it's coming from a caring place. And when somebody's doing something because they genuinely care about you, sometimes it might be having a tough conversation around, hey, you're doing this thing that is holding you back. Sometimes it's just giving grace in a certain capacity. But when somebody's doing it because they care, you can just feel that.
Yeah, definitely. Just listening, they're humans and that's what it is. That's how they need to be treated. And they're learning it. I'm 35 and I'm still learning consistently. And not all adults have it figured out.
Nobody has it figured out. Everybody just wakes up every day and is figuring it out. And I think just when you realize that, it's easier to give yourself grace sometimes.
Yeah. I joke around with some of our managers sometimes, because we have a pretty young management team. There's only one manager that's older than me, and a lot of them are in their late 20s. And I'm like, damn, guys, look around. Who put us kids in charge?
For sure.
I say that all the time.
We're still figuring it out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest goals that I tell youth to be invited, be at tables that you're like, how the hell did I get here? And I learned that with The Diary of the CEO. And that is such a cool book to really, it was really real. And he said that. And I was like, man, even being here, right? How the hell did I even get on this podcast? Being involved in our community is such a cool, how you're saying, who put me in charge? I say it all the time. And my husband's like, you did.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you all so much. You included, Brandon. Thank you. I think this everybody on this podcast right now is doing incredible work for the community, helping people get connected. And we're just at a place where we need to be inviting people out to spaces where they can get together and be in person, and they aren't just by themselves somewhere locked in a room with the internet and thinking that's human connection, because it really isn't. It can be part of it, but it can't be all of it.
Yeah. And if anybody listening wants to oh, I don't think I can help because I'm not punk. You don't have to be punk to do this.
I'm not punk.
Yeah. I'm not punk. I'm an emo. And so really putting yourself out there, we need volunteers, especially for Punks in the Park. So come experience it and see for yourself what we're doing and be part of it. I promise you, you'll fall in love with it.
I love it. What are the different classifications? Let's kind of just end on this. So there's punk, there's emo. Prep, is prep still one of the classifications?
Preppies, yeah.
Preppies, okay. What are the jocks?
And then you have goths, and then goths. You have cowboys? I don't know. I don't know what all of them are. I don't know anymore. I'm just an emo, but and I make a joke that if we called it emos in the park, we'd be crying and trauma bonding, and that's not what we're doing. So my husband's a blue collar, and he relates to youth. I have a couple of youth that are like, I actually like your husband more than you. And I'm like, excuse me? He's a truck driver. Sit down.
And as an emo, you just get sensitive and start crying when you hear this.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. Now you've tailspinned me. Now I'm manic. Thanks.
Yeah. Are bands still making emo music? Are we listening to the old stuff? And that's it.
I think the old bands ran out of money and now they're retouring and now we have big kid money and now we get to go. I'm literally wearing a Green Day shirt underneath that says When We Were Young Tour. And so, yeah, there's definitely new bands coming out for more emo, but I'm such a good Charlotte girl that like...
Does that count as emo? Like, I feel people would argue against Good Charlotte being emo. I
feel they're 100% emo.
That's probably pop music. They're like MTV. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're pop punk emo for sure. I mean, I had those tears because of Benji Madden.
I don't know. I think you're faking. I think you're a poser.
No way. Look, it literally says C emo on my sweater.
Yeah, but the Good Charlotte thing threw me off. Sorry. What were you saying, Brandon?
Oh, I haven't listened to Good Charlotte in so long, but it's sunny outside. I'm about to drive to the office, probably throw on some Good Charlotte and just
do it. You won't regret it. You'll come out with like your hair like
in a while. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate you all. Thank you, everybody that tuned in. And we'll see you next week on the What's Happening in Salem podcast. Appreciate you.